Let us turn again to Proverbs chapter 19, and let us consider now verse 27, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Proverbs 19 at verse 27, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge." Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. There's many a wise piece of advice. Perhaps we should use a stronger word in the book of Proverbs. Many a piece of teaching that we would do well to take to heart. It's God that is speaking. Though Solomon, he was the one who put all these proverbs together. He is speaking to someone that he calls his son. It might be a term of affection. It might be his own particular son. But that are words of knowledge. Words of true knowledge. Words that are true. If they're not true, they don't add to our knowledge. They confuse our knowledge. They take away from it. And that, and the instruction that Solomon is warning against, it's not truth. It's sending people away from the words of knowledge. We should be going forward in a straight line, so to speak. We should be walking in that way that God has given, that leads to everlasting life. What Jesus called the straight, the narrow way. But you see, anything that keeps us out of the narrow way, anything that sends us in an ungodly direction, is the kind of instruction that Solomon is warning against. And he's telling his son, he's telling us all, to cease to listen to that instruction. He's telling us to stop listening to any instruction that would put us wrong, that would lead us away from God's teaching in Scripture. That's what we're to listen to. That's what we're to hear. What will prevent us going away, erring, going out of the way, where there is knowledge to be found, spiritual knowledge. There's plenty knowledge we can acquire very easily these days, but it's probably not going to be helpful spiritually. I'm not saying it's necessarily false. There may be books about, and of course there are, books about life in other countries, the geography of other countries, books about history in particular periods are centered around particular individuals. Plenty knowledge of that kind. And I'm assuming just now that it's truth, that it's as accurate as the writer can make it. But you see, so much of that may be entirely secular. It hasn't got a spiritual component. And if that's true, whatever benefit we might get from it in a limited way, it's not going to send us towards heaven. That's what we need. And what Solomon is saying just now is to stop listening to the instruction that puts one out of the right way, that causes us to err from the words of knowledge. You see, the general philosophy of our day, the secular spirit that is so influential today, it causes people to err from the words of knowledge. But let us notice first of all, as the Lord may be pleased to help us, the words of knowledge. Just a few examples of the words of knowledge. The teaching that is spiritual. The teaching that will do good to our souls if we listen to it. And working on from that, we will try to say something secondly about the instruction that causes to err. And in the third place, the command to cease from hearing it. First, the words of knowledge. Second, the instruction that causes to err from these words of knowledge. And thirdly, we are to cease, we are to stop listening to the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. First then, the words of knowledge. That, as I said, these are the words that are going to be spiritually helpful to add to our knowledge about spiritual things, to add to what we know about God and what he has revealed. And if I begin at the very beginning of Scripture, it's such a fundamental matter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything. Now, is that so important, one might ask? Is that so important that I am justified in putting it first? Well, I believe that it is so very fundamental that I am justified in putting it first. There is so much depending on that. When I'm just taking a few central points, and there's multitudes of other points that could be taken up. But this great fact about God being the creator, that's tremendously fundamental to our understanding of ourselves and of the world we live in and the whole universe. Why are we here? That's a question which no doubt exercises many people. What's the point in life? Well, we should begin at the beginning. God created man. But even before that, God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything. And God created man in his own image. Now, I'm not going to go far in trying to expound these ideas, or we'll not get on to the other points. There's just so much that could be said. But what I'm trying to stress is this fundamental fact that God made everything. There is a creator. The world, the universe, didn't just come into existence by some whole series of random events. God created everything. And God created the human race. Second point. God has given a revelation. Words of knowledge, you see, is what I'm speaking about. Knowledge given by God. And how did God give that revelation? He gave it in the Scripture. In the Bible, and we are told that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect in his knowledge. There's a sufficient amount of spiritual knowledge in God's revelation. And it's reliable, you see. It's inspired by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's God's revelation. Words of knowledge for our instruction, you see. That's what it is. Words of instruction for us. And if we do not have these words of knowledge written in our hearts, we're going to make a mess of our lives. And fundamental to making a good use of our opportunities in life is this, that we would get spiritual knowledge, information about spiritual things. And fallen creatures as we are, we cannot get anywhere unless God has revealed the words of knowledge that we need to have. He has done so. He has given them to us in Scripture. What is written, you see? What was written by holy men as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. That's what we have. And third point. You see, God is to be worshipped. God exists and he is to be worshipped. We had it, was it last Sabbath? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The reply of Christ to the evil one when he was being tempted. Quoting from Scripture, you see. Even the Son of God in our nature, how ready he was to make use of God's revelation to mankind. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. That's spoken in the first instance to the devil, or at least quoted in the first instance. To refute the devil. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, not idols, not anything else, and certainly not to worship Satan. We are to serve God, the one who has authority over us as the Creator. We are to worship. We are to give him our hearts. We are to seek him. We are to acknowledge him. By reading his word, we are to acknowledge him in receiving the instruction that comes in Scripture and in the preaching of the word. We are to worship him in prayer, in dependence upon him in everything. In dependence upon him to receive instruction. So that it applied to our souls. Yes. But a fourth point. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was that solemn act of rebellion in the Garden of Eden that I was trying to refer to this morning. Yes. But you see, all have sinned. All have sinned in Adam. That's the point there. We have inherited the guilt of Adam's first transgression. We sinned in him. He was the great covenant head of mankind, of all mankind. He was our representative. And because of Adam's sin, we are accounted guilty. All have sinned and are coming short of the glory of God. That's our solemn position. But there's a way of salvation. God in his kindness has provided that there would be a mediator, one to stand between us and an angry God, a God angry, ready to inflict punishment because of sin, to do so because he is perfectly just, perfectly righteous in all his dealings with us. There is one God, we are told, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, one to stand between sinners and God. He gave himself a ransom for all kinds of sinners. He came to pay the price, to set them free from eternal destruction. He shed his own blood. He died, in other words, as a substitute for sinners. He came. Lo, I come, he was saying in are the words that are used in prophecy concerning Christ. Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God, to do thy will, that I might work out redemption for sinners, to deliver them from the wrath to come. Yes, and that redemption was to be testified in due time. And that's what preachers are trying to do, to testify, to bear witness, to give instruction concerning the way of salvation, the way of deliverance. Yes, to be testified so that sinners would receive that instruction, so that sinners would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Yes, there's it. There's the commandment that I referred to already today. This is his commandment. This is God's commandment, that we should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a commandment. Well, there are some of the words of knowledge, but it's an expression that covers the whole teaching of Scripture. But there's the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Instruction that causes to err. Why do people not look to Christ? Well, there might be many answers to that question, but there's this answer, that they are distracted. They are distracted by the instruction that causes to err. There's instruction going about that puts people wrong. And perhaps it begins with this, that there is no creator, that everything just happened to turn out as it has. It's instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. That's the command of God. And him only shalt thou serve. And there's the instruction that causes to err from these words of knowledge, that are Lord's many and God's many. Doesn't matter what religion you follow. People speak about those who are of all faiths or none, collectively that is, and it's all the same, it doesn't matter, but it does matter, and matters before God. That's the particular thing. It matters before God what religion we are of. You see, there is such a thing as truth. The words of knowledge, that's truth. But today we can have our own truth. It's typical of the irrationality of present-day thinking, that we can have our own truth, and your truth is different from my truth. What one person believes may be different from what another person believes, that's something different. But you see, what we are to be concerned about is that we would have a true view of reality, that we would know what the truth is, the truth about spiritual things, the truth in religion. Now, there's only one truth. It's what God has revealed. God who understands all things, God who is infinite in his wisdom, in his knowledge, in his power, and everything else. He has given a revelation of truth. Truth. What really is. How things really are. Who he is. What he expects. All these things that are in the Bible and much, much more. But you see, there are so many influences today pointing us away from the words of knowledge, causing us to err from the words of knowledge. And there was a warning given in Deuteronomy 13, about false teachers. If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or wonder. Now it's not just teaching, but that this prophet would work a sign. And the sign of the wonder come to pass, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Then thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. You see, even if this sign, this wonder, would come about, that wasn't to influence anyone. The devil has great power. And wherever we see false teaching, we are to see the effects of the devil's work. That's what we're to recognize. And however marvelous signs and wonders might be, then that's not to influence us. That's to reject us. I know that those who teach secularism, those who deny religion altogether, they will not claim signs or wonders. But the point is, that God is saying, God is warning us, that even if there are miracles, still we are to ignore them. Things we cannot understand, things we cannot explain away. Even if that happens, we are to say, God has given us teaching in the Bible, we are not to turn away from it. We are to receive it as truth. Whatever it is, we are to receive it as truth. Now, you see again, this time I'm referring or going to refer to Isaiah chapter 30 and what the people of that time, of Isaiah's time, were saying to the seers, the prophets. They say to the seers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Now, it's not the words that they were using that we have here, but it's how their words and their desires were being interpreted. Isaiah looks at them, or listens to them, or thinks about them. And he says, what they are asking for are not right things. Speak unto us smooth things, they say. Well, they might have put it in these terms. Perhaps not. But you see, that was how the words were to be understood. Not things that would make them uncomfortable. See, that's a great matter today. You're not to upset anybody by warning them about sin, however gross their immorality might be. Oh, don't upset. That's hate speech. But you see, we have to come back to the Bible. What's the Bible say? It's not smooth things. There might be, in a sense, many rough edges on what the Lord is saying. Well, whatever one might say in that way, what the Bible is saying is truth. It's relevant. If we ignore it, if we argue against it, then we're putting ourselves in a very dangerous place. People want the church not to upset them in any way, not to tell them that they are sinners, not to tell them why society today is off the rails. It's forgotten God. It's pushing teaching that causes to err from the ways of knowledge, from the ways of truth. And how comfortable it is, up to a point, how comfortable for people to believe that there will be no judgment at last, that they will not have to give account at the judgment seat of Christ. That's smooth. Smooth thoughts to keep them from getting upset. Not to tell them, not to have to believe that the wages of sin is death. Eternal death. That's got too many rough edges. That will make them uncomfortable. They want to hear what will leave them comfortable. But there is such a thing as facing up to reality. And what a mercy it is when the Lord, by His Word and by His Spirit, brings a sinner to face up to reality. And that's part of what the Lord does when He convinces people of their sins. You see, there is a teaching that God is, that God has given commandments, that we are duty-bound to obey His commandments, and that if we do not obey His commandments, and if we do not receive the way of salvation that God has revealed, then we are in danger. We are in danger of eternal destruction. And that's certainly not a smooth thing. That's not what people want to hear. They're being upset. Either they ignore it, or they are liable to be uncomfortable. It's liable to disturb their conscience. But you see, again, I come back to this. What is truth? It was Pilate's question, but sadly, he didn't wait for an answer. What is truth? Well, let me give this answer just now. Truth is what God gives. Truth is what gives us proper instruction about life and what comes after this life. What people want are smooth things that do not disturb their conscience, that makes them think that they can go on. And this day should be as the next day. That we can eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And death isn't all that terrible. It's just a passing out of existence. So people want to think. How can people so easily advocate euthanasia? It's because they do not believe in eternity. Or at least they do not want to believe that there is anything after this life. And that they will get away from the difficulties that they are experiencing. How sad suicide is for those who are left behind. How sad it is for those who pass into a lost eternity. Taking away their own lives, jumping away from where they might hear the truth and have it blessed to them. You see, that's the whole spirit of the age. It's teaching, it's instruction that causes to err from the ways of knowledge. Yes. The time will come, Paul was reminding Timothy, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, who are ready to believe the next falsehood, the next false teaching that comes along. They will not endure sound doctrine. How true that is of this generation. And it's propagated earnestly. People are ready to believe anything. And it's propagated in schools, it's propagated in the media. And people, for the most part, are very ready to receive it. It upsets some people. But you see, what we need is a readiness to listen to the words of knowledge, not the words of falsehood. Paul again, writing a second time to the Corinthians, speaks of false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. As if they were sent by Christ, as if they had true knowledge. And no marvel that human beings can transform themselves into an angel of light. Is someone sent with true knowledge? Because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, whose end shall be the end of these deceitful workers, these false apostles, coming among the Corinthians as if they were speaking truth. Their end shall be according to their works. Yes, how sad that today there are so many false apostles. Yes, I was ready to say that they're not coming as the apostles of Christ, and yet in some cases they are, claiming to be preachers in the church of God, and yet bringing the same message as worldly people. But you see, we are warned, and thoughts, our ways of thinking must be moulded by the Bible, must be moulded by God's revelation. You see, that's the only reliable way we will steer a course through this life, by listening to what God has said in Scripture, not adding to it and not taking away from it, but receiving the sure testimony of the Word of God, showing us what is right and what is wrong, showing us that we are sinners, showing us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, there are so many ways of missing the way that leads to everlasting life. So many ways. So many ways of going wrong. There's one way of going right. And for that we need to be directed by God himself. We need to be asking, teach me, O Lord, the perfect way, of thy precepts divine. Teach me. Not only that we would have outward instruction, but that the word of the truth of the gospel, the whole word of God, would be applied to our souls. Now, I'm not saying that every verse of scripture would be applied to our souls, but that the general teaching of the word of God would be applied to our souls. These vital matters that I mentioned as words of knowledge, sin and salvation, not least, sin, the teaching of the Bible about sin, the teaching of the Bible about salvation through Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, and that there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. You see, Christianity is an exclusive religion. That doesn't go down well today. People say it doesn't matter what you believe, and then are all upset when the teaching of the Bible is directed at particular errors. We've got to be tolerant. Well, we're not to be tolerant of error being spread. We're not to be saying it doesn't matter what you believe. I mean, people wouldn't begin to accept that if it was an instruction manual about some machine that someone was operating. If in large print at the beginning of this, an instruction manual, it said, it doesn't really matter how you operate this machine. Nothing's going to go wrong. It's still going to work. It's still going to produce what it's intended to produce. Doesn't matter how you treat it. You can leave it switched off if you want. Now, I'm talking absurdly and deliberately so, as you realize. But you see, if you can't say that about a machine, if a doctor was to fix up a machine and connect it up to you, and he whispers to the nurse beside him, it doesn't matter how you operate this machine, I think he would get rather worried. And the teaching that it doesn't matter how you live, that's the instruction that causes to err from the lips of, from the words of knowledge. How many are being put wrong when that way of thinking is so pervasive as far as morality and religion are concerned. Nobody's going to say that. There might be arguments of times about particular medical treatment or how far you can change settings on a machine to make it work better. And someone says, I got more out of the machine by doing this or that. And the other person says, well, I don't think that's wise. That might be possible. And no doubt it often is. But as far as we, not just bodies, but souls, body and soul taken together, we are to cease from the instruction that causes to err. You see, as we had quite recently, Paul's words to the Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. The preaching of the word by Paul and others was such as to make it so abundantly clear that this is the way of salvation. Through Christ crucified, it was made so abundantly clear that if anyone was going away to the religion that including works, they were in a very dangerous position. It was as if they were bewitched. They were bewitched. They were just completely put wrong. We have to stick to the words of knowledge. The one way of salvation. There's no other saving. Neither is there salvation in any other, as Peter would say. Yes. We're to ask for the old ways. Because they're safe. Because that's according to the teaching of God. Of course there's old ways and old ways. But if we're standing in the right paths, if we're standing beside the word of God, if we have the word of God in our hand, so to speak, if we have the word of God more especially in our minds, then, you see, we have the truth, we have proper instruction, and we are not to err from the words of knowledge. We're not to go away. We're not to turn away in the wrong direction. You see what verse 16 tells us. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul. If we keep the teaching of God's word, then we are protecting our souls and leaving our souls in the hand of God to protect us and to give us grace to obey the instruction that we have in the commandments of God. On the other hand, he that despises his ways shall die. The one that is careless about his way through this world, he will die eternally apart from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be careless about our ways. We're not to be careless about how we live. That's dangerous. It's to despise our souls. To despise the safety of our souls. Of course, that involves rejecting the testimony of God's word. And God's word is truth. Let us remember that. Whatever we find in the word of God, even if we cannot understand it, we can be sure of this. It's truth. And if we cannot understand it, we are to go to the Lord and say, teach me, O Lord. And to say to him, thou hast said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shouldst go. I will guide thee with mine eye. We are to ask, Lord, teach me. Lord, instruct me. Lord, guide me. The one who sees everything is able to guide us, to lead us into the words of knowledge. Safe teaching, true teaching. Yes. Anybody teaching law, for instance, whatever branch of law it might be, so that they can be so that those who are instructed can be giving advice to others as lawyers. Well, if he is erring from a right knowledge of the legislation of the country he is in, he's putting people wrong. What's the use of going to get advice from a lawyer that was badly trained? What's the use of taking advice from those who do not believe the teaching of Scripture? I mean, as far as religion and morality are concerned. What's the use of going to such people and asking, what must I do to be saved? And very likely in these days, what one would be told is, don't worry about that. Go out or get some entertainment somehow. Never mind what the Bible says. Just enjoy life. And if the awkward question would be asked, what about what's after death? What about eternity? Well, we don't need to follow that through. There's plenty of ways of putting people wrong. Giving assurance, prophesying smooth things, advocating deceits. Oh, may we value whatever we have of the truth. Whatever we have of the truth. Yes. Let us remember that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that most people go in today. And anybody can do his own thing, believe what he wants. But that way ends in destruction, eternal destruction. Oh, let us believe the testimony, the warnings, the counsel of Scripture. And you see, the counsel that we have here, and this is the third thing, is cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Yes, Paul was concerned about the Corinthians, and he was telling them, he was warning them, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity of the way of salvation. The simplicity of the religion of Scripture. The morality of Scripture. It's a case of following God, following Christ. Following Christ as the Savior. That's straightforward. The simplicity that is in Christ. And we're not to go away from that. May the Lord keep us. May the Lord direct us. May the Lord instruct us according to the words of true knowledge. Yes. You see what the Lord was saying through Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. The prophets, he describes it as a wonderful and horrible thing. A matter of wonder, matter that should be responded to with amazement, but a horrible thing. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. Yes. By and large, that's what the people appreciate today. Smooth things. False teaching. That doesn't warn them. That allows them to live as they please. To believe what they want. And then the question. What will ye do in the end thereof? What will the sinner do at death? What will you do at death if you will not come to Christ? Yes, cease, stop. Stop from giving heed to the unbelief of your own heart. Telling you not to worry about your soul. Telling you that you can be saved at any point in the future. Go on, enjoy yourself. That's the great aim of people today. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. Doesn't matter how you live. Don't worry about eternity. There's nothing after death. And you realize, I'm sure, that I'm just quoting the ideas of others. false ideas. This business of departing from the words of knowledge. And you see, we're to stop that. And we're to be aware of what is before us. We're to be aware of the truth that we are being taught by Scripture. God's instruction in Scripture. We're not to ignore that. We're not to make little of it. Verse 21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Many ways of thinking. Many errors. Much self-serving. But, and notice the but, or the word nevertheless, it doesn't matter which is used. The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. What does the Lord say? What has the Lord taught? What has the Lord revealed? That's what will stand. Let the sinner come to death. Let the sinner come to judgment. Let the sinner be sent away to a lost eternity. That's the counsel of the Lord, standing firm, unchangeable. Oh, we might think our own thoughts. People today might think that, might have their own ways of thinking. But the counsel of the Lord, the Lord's purposes, what the Lord has revealed, that's what will stand. That's what will stand. And so, there's the call. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, even those that are thirsting for what is wrong. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. Come to the source of blessing. Come to the gospel, the streams of the gospel. Come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Come, come sinner. Come to receive really good things. Come to receive things that will not evaporate at death. Or when you get seriously ill. Or whatever it might be. Come to Christ. And receive salvation from him. A salvation that is suitable for you. The salvation worked out by Christ as a perfect Savior. A Savior suitable for sinners. Yes. And he that getteth wisdom, verse 8, loveth his own soul. He that speaketh lies shall perish. Yes. You see, we are to stop following any false teaching. We are to stop following our own ideas which lead away from the gospel. We are to repent. We are to seek the Lord while he may be found. We are to follow Christ. We are to believe in him. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray.